Blog Talk Radio.
You know what gang violence is, mostly, and the people don't want you to hear this? Somebody shoots your family member, so of course you retaliate. You know what I mean? Same thing the U.S. does, except nobody even shot their family members. You know, they see somebody bomb a school and all these people get killed, so the United States feel like, ooh, that's messed up. We got to go show them who's the real killer. This country was built on gangs. You know, I think this country still is run on gangs. Republicans, Democrats, the police department, the FBI, the CIA, those are gangs. You know what I mean? The correctional officers. I had a correctional officer tell me straight up, we the biggest gang in New York State. Straight up.
The present revolution, introducing drugs on crack to us ghetto teens. Got a lot for born niggas now. Play of what it be like. When will niggas see they got us bleeding with three strikes? Can't seem to focus, hopeless. With violent thoughts, I wrote this. Got the devil petrified, hot for my heart to focus. And so I learn to earn my currency in overtime. Affiliated, clearly click a military mind. May God forgive us, so we dwell inside a paradise. Thugged out and drug dealing from the womb to the block. My live mind got me surviving five rounds. My 45 got me fortified with live rounds. When shit kick, we block hit. When I drop stick, all hell, I don't bail. Rap, let you talk a list. Forever ghetto, necessary picture proof stamp. Outlaw thug niggas never left the proof.
We got a real life shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world, to box to back.
DJ
from my soldiers attack, when I fuck my soldiers attack, from my soldiers attack, we got the real live shit from front to back. To my niggas in the world who box attack, when my soldiers attack, from my soldiers attack, when I fuck my soldiers attack, from my soldiers attack.
Now I was born as a rebel, making trouble for the devil, take this gangbang shit to a whole nother level. Can you feel me now? Armies in every city, definition of power. Play it, but you didn't see the war as the prophecy, survival is the strategy. Rest in peace to my comrades, that's the seat. Organize the streets in time, yeah, any devil petrified of a nigga in his right mind. They tell us that we hopeless and hellbound. It's for the brothers and penitentiary jail bam. I got you in my heart till the day I die. Think of the damage we could do if we wasn't high. Can you picture me low? It's the thug rap. Political contracts and bloodbath. From a Tulsa core up in the Rockets, though they got you. I never let them stop me, the struggle continues.
Now if we do want to live a thug life and a gangster life and all of that, okay. So stop being cowards and let's have a revolution. But we don't want to do that. Dudes just want to live a character. They want to be cartoons. But if they really wanted to do something, it was that tough. All right, let's start our own country. Let's start a revolution. Let's get out of here. Let's do something.
I'm a soldier for life. The battle I'm fighting has no ending. The struggle is to go the distance. To win is not to care how far one must go.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How you feel?
Fine, sir.
How do we get access to this, Jackson?
His lawyers say they can get me in posing as a legal investigator.
You were Huey Newton's lawyer.
Yes.
And now, Mr. Jackson.
Mr. Jackson was sentenced 1 year to life for a $70 gas station robbery.
We have 2 hours.
Waiting a long time.
We need brothers who can maintain their self-respect in here, have true strength.
Some people are comparing you to Eldridge Cleaver, Richard Wright, Du Bois. How does your fame affect you when you're locked up all day?
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Free the Soledad Brothers!
Do you understand that there cannot be a peaceful revolution?
Okay, gentlemen, we're taking over!
Mr. Jackson, sorry about your brother.
They will live to regret it. I'll see you today. Get him where it hurts.
Starring Gary Dorden from TV CSI.
This is the military, David.
Free to learn.
Real Fear, greetings. Welcome to another year of Jordan Universe Radio 2023. We're gonna push it to Annie even harder. Bring more education, liberation. You know, Gita, I'm your host, Bumani Shakir. And now we have five goals for Jordan University. Our first goal is to eradicate functional illiteracy among new African prisoners. Our second goal is to eradicate cultural ignorance among new African prisoners. Our third goal is to transform the criminal mentality to the new African mentality, which is really a lot of work. The fourth goal is to assist in rebuilding and stabilization of new African communities to build our new African nation. Our fifth goal is to prepare a new African prisoner for release, reduce new African recidivism. We can't keep them going through the revolving circle over and over again. That doesn't make any sense. So before I bring on our guest tonight, I'd like to go over a couple of events that happened in history during this week. On January 1st, 1804, Haiti became the first liberated nation of Africans in the Western Hemisphere to gain independence during that day. In 1831, William Lloyd Garrison published the first issue of the Abolition Journal, The Liberator. Black abolition notable James Fortin of Philadelphia were among the major financial moral supporters of the venture. In 1854, Lincoln University, one of the first black colleges to open as Ashby Institute in Oxford, Pennsylvania. Also in 1808, which I missed, the federal law forbidding importation of African slaves to the U.S. went into effect. In 1863, President Lincoln signed Massachusetts Proclamation to free slaves in Confederate Hill areas where he could not free them and left them enslaved in Union Hill areas where he could have freedom. Great illusion. The proclamation freed slaves in rebel states with the exception of 13 parishes, including New Orleans, Louisiana, 48 counties in West Virginia, 7 counties including Norfolk in Eastern Virginia, and the state of Tennessee. The proclamation did not apply to border states of Maryland, Missouri, Kentucky, and Delaware. In 1915, Dr. John McCloud was born. He's an African historian, philosopher, educator, and override freedom fighter and motivation. One of the most famous quotes is, I can't even get it out right now. Hold up. I'm going to get back to that. In 1916, the first issue of the Journal of Negro History was published. They burnt down Rosewood, which was the all Florida's new African civilization that was in Florida. They burnt it down, and it led various racism, anti-acts on us, just to burn down our civilization. In 1956, Sudan and Africa gained their independence. In 1959, Cuba gained a victorious and revolution. And also on the first, the seventh principle of Kwanzaa called Imani, which means faith. And John Henry Clark said, I don't debate my equals, everyone else I teach. He said at the beginning of the debate, where he debated some Europeans. On January 2nd, 1800, the anti-slavery petition from Free Blacks of Philadelphia presented to Congress. In 1872, Mississippi legislator met John R. Lynch. John R. Lynch was elected Speaker of the House at the age of 24. 1884, Oscar Mishe, author, film director, and independent producer of Before the Friends Were Born. He was known as the father of a black cinema. In 1911, noted black author and anthropologist St. Clair Drake was born. In 1965, voter registration drive led by Martin Luther King Jr. started in Selma, Alabama. In 1973, San Quentin prisoner went on the strike. In 1977, Harold Gardner, jazz pianist, died in Louisiana at the age of 53. Died in Los Angeles at the age of 53. In 2016, we witnessed the demise of Mama Dr. Francis Wilson, the author of the ISIS paper. On January 3rd, 1961, Representative Adam Clayton Powell Jr. of Harlem elected chairman of the House Education and Labor Committee. In 1966, SNCC activist Samuel Young Jr. were killed in Tuskegee, Alabama. And also in 1966, Flood B. McKissick, a North Carolina attorney, named National Director of Congress of Racial Equality. In 1969, Representative Adam Clayton Powell Jr. was seated by Congress. In 1987, Aretha Franklin, first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. On January 4th, 1901, author, political economy historian, C.R. James, was born in Trinidad. In 1909, Amsterdam News was founded. In 1920, the National Negro Baseball League was established. In 1884, Harry Lew, the first African-American professional basketball player, was born. On January 5th, 1804, the Ohio legislature passed the first of a succession of Northern black laws and the movement of free blacks in the North. Most Northern states passed black laws. Constitution of three states, Illinois, Indiana, Oregon, barred black settlers. In 1943, George Washington Carver, agricultural scientist, died at the age of 78. In 1999, Anthony Williams was sworn as the mayor of Washington, D.C. On January 6th, 1773, Massachusetts slaves petition the legislature for freedom. There is a record of 8 freedom petitions during the Revolutionary War period. In 1832, New England Anti-Slavery Society organized at the African Baptist Church on Boston Beacon Hill. 1866, Harold R. Perry became second black Roman Catholic bishop in U.S. history. In 1993, Dizzy Gillespie, jazz trumpeter and one of the founders of modern jazz, died in Englewood, New Jersey at the age of 75. In 2003, Mamie Till Mobley, the mother of Emmett Till, who was lynched in Money, Mississippi in 1965, died at the age of 81 in Chicago. On January 7, 1837, the Weekly Advocate, the second major black newspaper, found New York. The name was later changed to the Colored American. 40 black newspapers were published before the Civil War. In 1868, Mississippi Constituent Convention, 17 blacks, 83 whites met in Jackson. Also in 1868, Arkansas Constitution Convention, 8 blacks, 43 white men in Little Rock. 1890, W.B. Purvis invented and patented the fountain pen. In 1891, Zora Neale Hurston, who was a writer, was born in Florida. In 1927, the Harlem Globetrotters played their first game. In 1941, Colonel Frederick Gregory was born. He was a NASA astronaut and was the first black to command a space shuttle in a mission in 1985. 1966, Martin King Jr. opened his first major campaign in North, calling for desegregation and equal rights in the city of Chicago, a major battle for the Democrat Party, one of the most segregated cities in America. Chicago was segregated in 1966, still was segregated, so you know what that means. Predominant new African home, dominant. 1976, Dr. Mary Frances Berry, named Chancellor of the University of Colorado. She was also an author. 2002, Shirley Franklin was sworn in as Atlanta's first female mayor. You know, those are a couple of events that happened in history during this week. You know, I'd like to welcome everybody to our show tonight. Welcome to our broadcast. I thank you all for doing the work that you do, doing the training and the studying that you do, and thank you for all the commitment that you do and y'all respect the areas. I'd like to welcome to the show tonight our founder and our theoretician and elder, Baba Abdul Lugubai Shakir. Jambo, Conrad. How you
right
doing?
All right, now. Jambo, boy, I got it.
Yes, sir. Injury was signing out. Wait. What's going on, Conrad? How you feeling, man?
Oh, you feeling? Oh, can't stop, won't stop. You know that.
Yes, sir, man. I know the people might be quite familiar with you by now. If they're not familiar with it, man, you know, you can get it familiar with you tonight, you know. But they're not familiar with you.
Yes.
You feel me? Yes, sir. Yes,
no doubt.
Sir, man. You know. Yes, sir. You know, we're going to get us a couple of issues tonight, man, about the political prison, New York political prisoners, the support.
Yeah.
What is New York political prisoner, re-support, GDU, political things of that nature, man. So you need to go and take off there, brother.
Okay. And, like, one of the things I try to explain to people, and I'm talking about even within the political prisoners movement, the struggle don't stop at the prison gate. The prison industrial slave complex is an extension of fascism. So even when these different groups say that these individuals that came to prison for criminal reasons and became political while in prison is not political prisoners, that's crap. Because you go to any other country, maybe in Palestine, Ireland, all these different countries, right? When individuals join the struggle while in prison and they are persecuted as a direct result of that, they are political prisoners. They're being persecuted for their political activities. Those who join the armed struggle while in prison, they become POWs because they are being imprisoned within isolation, solitary confinement for their direct armed action against fascism and racism. The prison industrial slave complex is not a separate entity from fascism and racism. In fact, it's magnified tenfold in here. So for brothers and sisters to stand up against that, maybe from a political standpoint or an armed standpoint, they become victims of that. So, and here goes the contradiction here. I don't know if you remember, back, I say about 15, 17 years ago, Sister Sophia and one other comrades, elders, they started a newsletter called the New African Political Prisoners and POW newsletter, right? It's like, and the thing I didn't like about it, even though I was there, you have to be elected by other political prisoners, right? And all the New African political prisoners involved was either BLA or Panthers, you know, and you had to be elected by them. They know your case, they study your history, why you came to prison for and all that, right? And then they select you to be part of the mailing list, right? So we had a discussion. And, you know, Sister Sophia, that's my sister. We had a discussion because they had excluded Rochelle McGee and Hugo Pinnell because they became political while in prison. But then I said, well, there's a contradiction because Angola 3 became political while in prison. George Jackson, his first 5-6 years, he was a thug. The Wolf Pack was not a revolutionary organization. They were thugs. But no one questioned his political status. No one questioned the Angola 3 political status. So there's a contradiction, and that contradiction undermined the integrity of the movement itself. Because people ask, wait a minute, if George was a political prisoner, why they did not apply it to Rochelle McGee? He was active. Rochelle McGee was one of the brothers that developed the guerrilla law in the service of the people at the time while in prison, who was being victimized by the system. He filed all the documents on their behalf. He challenged the laws that imposed certain restrictions on them. He did that. He was on the front line. And he was victimized as a direct result. And that was even before the August 7th Marin County courthouse incident. He was being persecuted in the service of the struggle. We already know about Yogi, Hugo Pinnell. He was side by side with George. So there's these contradictions, because what it does, it makes it look like you have to have this label, this logo. It's like the Black Panther Party is like an elite logo. If you don't have this logo, or, you know, like product, you know, Louis Vuitton, if you don't have this logo, you're not a political prisoner POW. And I've seen incidents where you have individuals who've been out to struggle since the 70s, get arrested in the 80s, all of a sudden they became a political prisoner, but they've been out the movement for 10, 15 years. This undermined the integrity and legitimacy of this of the movement. You have to understand that the struggle for liberation, fighting fascism, racism, does not stop at the damn prison gate. Even the United Nations recognize certain individuals in prison as political prisoners who have transformed themselves and start fighting in the interest of the struggle. When you have an individual who take that position, he or she is not genuine in the process. Because then what you're implying then that the struggle stopped at the prison gate. Even though I came to prison for a political act, I also acknowledge and recognize that many of the brothers and sisters became political in prison, and some of them have done more and sacrificed more than any of the brothers and sisters that came in from the streets. And they've not been recognized. And the downside of that is when you're not recognized, you don't have the support, you'll be persecuted 10 times more. Because in the government or the prison industrial slave complex recognize, okay, this individual don't have that support like the rest of them. They're going to really put pressure on his ass hard, you know, because he have no support. So they can further persecute him for his political ideas and beliefs, and nothing going to happen. Some of these brothers and sisters end up dead with no support from the streets at all. We can't blame no one else but ourselves. We speak about the principles of elitism, the destructive principles of elitism, but yet we practice the same elitism within inside the revolution. You're not going to be a revolutionary and practice elitism within the struggle. I don't give a damn what you say. A lot of times people try to redefine what a revolution is to justify their failure, to justify those contradictions in them. You can't. If you take another individual over another individual because he have this logo, this label, but both of them are political prisoners, both of them came to prison or transformed while they're in prison, but I'm going to take this individual here because he got this label. That's a form of elitism. You're not sincere then. Because I wouldn't give a damn what group you belong to. If you came to prison for political activities or you're being persecuted while in prison for political activities, you are a political prisoner. And I'm going to support you. I don't give a damn what group you belong to. If you fall under those definitions, those criteria, then we're going to recognize and acknowledge that you're a political prisoner of POW. We don't give a damn what anybody else says. Because our position is going to be rooted in truth and facts. Not in these personal subjective perspectives. When you start making a choose, like, well, I choose him over her or her over him, that's subjectivism. That's not revolutionary. That's subjectivism. That's the emotional stuff. That's the hero-worshipping stuff. There's no room for a revolutionary. Known or unknown, if you're being pressured by the system as a direct result of your political activities, I'm going to support you, period. I don't give a damn what label you got on you. No, you ain't no snitch and child molester or rapist. I'm going to support you. You know? And that have done more harm to the struggle. And a lot of these folks on the streets as part of the political prisoners movement don't even realize that. Because some of these brothers and sisters that are not being recognized and supported, they're going through it right now. We got comrades in Alabama going through it. And you know this too, Romani.
True indeed. Indeed, especially with the process in regards to, like, people want to consider certain political prisoners more popular than others. They take away recognition of certain things. Also, the different aspects in regards to, like, the different labels. You're a black political prisoner. You're a New Album political prisoner. You're a Native American new political prisoner. No different labels and things as well. You know what I'm saying? They make a difference also as well because certain people, ethnic background, people support them more than others, right? So it's a lot of different situations in regards to that.
And again, that only hurt because it brings, it discredited the legitimacy of the movement because even the politicians are looking. Even the enemy government is looking. They see the United Nations see the contradiction. Well, we only represent these other citizens and brothers are not political prisoners, so you can do what the hell you want to do with them. You know, we make out a list of 15 people or 20 people. Everybody else, nah, they bullshit. But yet, if you check their history, you check what they've been doing and how they're being persecuted as a direct result of what they're doing, not criminal, but political, but revolutionary. You just fed them to the dogs. And a lot of these brothers and sisters who's out there came from prison at one time, and they know what they're doing. You constantly feeding these other brothers and sisters to the dogs. That's why I don't associate with them clowns because you're constantly doing it. It's not an accident because you came from prison and you know when you did not have that same support, what did they do to you? When these other brothers and sisters, they have not that support, what did they do to them? And you know this, you was here. Then you got to do the same goddamn thing. No, you go fuck yourself. I ain't got to get away with that fake ass shit. Because when I step down, I'm gonna recognize all the brothers and sisters who have sacrificed their life for the people, for the revolution. And I'm going to try my best to get them all the support that they deserve. I recall doing that same when we had the newsletter, I wrote a piece, right? None of the comrades that was on the mailing list They all supported me. Even Mumia Abu-Jamal supported his idea. It was people on the streets, them subjective sentiments. They didn't want to say, man, what's wrong with Abdu? What I suggest is this. You had a lot of comrades, you know, Mumia Abu-Jamal in particular, right? They had millions and millions of support. But you had a whole lot of political prisoners that did not have no support. So what I was suggesting is this. You identify each one of these political prisoners. Have your supporters break off in teams and threes and assign three supporters to each of these political prisoners so they can have their own support committee. I already had my support committee, you know, and I only had like probably 30, 40 people, so I extended them to other people. But you have those who had millions, if not hundreds of thousands, just take three and assign them each political prison. That way, no political prisoner will be left behind. And each of them have their own little committee. None of the comrades, Jaleel, nobody that received that newsletter complained. They agreed. It was those folks on the streets, that emotional, subjective shit. Man, Abdu trying to take away. I said, oh, man, this shit is silly. These are brothers and sisters who claim to be part of the struggle, but they lack the political maturity to understand certain aspects. You can't say that you feel for the political prison, but then you start choosing which one you feel for. Either you support political prison or you don't. Simple as that. You know, I'm for one, and those who know me, I'm Abdu. I don't you go fuck. I wouldn't give a damn if you support me or not. I'm a revolutionary, so I'm not here for your support. Your support. I'm not here to be like this. Like, I'm in the service of the people. I'm fighting down for my people. I'm not fighting to be recognized, acknowledged. I wouldn't care how you feel. I don't want to get caught in that subjective crap. I'm doing what I do for the people. So I've never really, even though I'm recognized as one, I never really put any value on it for the simple reason too many good brothers and sisters were left out. That's why I've never really put any value on it. Because there's a lot of good comrades who sacrificed their life, who continue to sacrifice their life right now, from California to Alabama to New York, on the front line. And being ignored, dismissed. Can't get support at all. Because they ain't got that product label on them. And for anyone that's part of the struggle, don't see nothing wrong with that, then they need to step back then. Because something is seriously wrong with that. You have a lot of folks that did things on the streets and came to prison, just laid down, didn't do nothing. You got brothers and sisters in prison who have fought 20, 30, 40, 50 years straight. And have been shot, poisoned, stabbed, you name it, without one support, other than from the brothers and sisters from within. You have to self-reflect on that. You can't blame that attitude on white racism, the white man, because we have the tendency to blame everything we do, our own failure, on everybody else but ourselves. You have to look in the mirror. You have to sit looking in the mirror. If you don't see what's wrong with that, say that again, my brother.
Got to have that accountability. Everything you do.
Man, and you have, and again, if you don't self-reflect and see what you're doing, then you do not recognize that accountability. You know? You had brothers in prison that claimed to be Panthers, and they were doing all kind of goofy shit. I wouldn't give a damn your original Panther. That's goofy shit you're doing. You know, when brothers had to fight against these races, you talking about don't do nothing. What the hell you talking about? They just kill a brother. You must bump your head. Ain't you part of the struggle? It don't stop at the prison gate. The same racist forces that you was fighting out there is in here. The same armed struggle you was fighting out there is in here. It's just different weapons. But the same goddamn force. No one told you out there to make peace with them damn pigs and racists. Why would you tell these brothers here to do that? I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about during that time when it was all out war and brothers were being victims of this racial violence. A lot of people, you better study George history. What do you think George went to the hole for? What do you think Comrade George was doing? He's on the front of the line in the armed struggle in prison. People act as if Comrade George was separate from what was going on. Comrade George on the front line. And I tell people, study the history. It's documented. Fighting the same forces brothers after that was fighting.
True.
They did the same thing Comrade George did. But yet, no one recognized them as political prisoners. And anyone that knows the history in California, you had brothers that done more than George, other than writing the book from a military standpoint, done more than George, from a military standpoint, in the service of struggle. That's when you know it's all about, you know, the popularity. It ain't nothing concrete. It's popularity. You know, everybody's going to be a part of this because so-and-so. Then you got all these brothers and sisters that may say, George this and George that, but they're not living up to what George is talking about. They're not holding the same principles of Comrade George lived and died for. I mean, this is something that we, again, and this is what I'm saying, Comrade, it's something that we have to do. Because most of them guys out there, sisters and them out there, and brothers that are involved in political rights, they're not going to listen to us. It's not in their best interest to listen to, because they have to look at themselves in the mirror and say, damn, I've been wrong all this time. And most of them ain't got the political maturity to do that, because they're self-interest driven. So that's something that we have to do. That's what we're doing.
Education process, you know? Too, that makes a difference as well.
Yeah. But, and that's with everyday people. I'm talking about those who've been around for a long time. They know it. I'm not even talking to them. Because ain't nothing I'm saying they don't know. And I'm not going to bite my tongue. They know exactly what I'm talking about. Ain't nothing I'm saying that they don't know. See, again, when you start to struggle based on what people think about you, you're going to sell out. Because you're not struggling for the people. Well, I better not say that because he or she ain't going to like me no more. I don't give a damn about you liking me. I'm living and dying for the people. So you cannot hold nothing over my head. And I was saying this 30, 40 years ago. You know? I mean, when the anarchists out of Oregon got at me and they wanted me to give them information about all these brothers on the political prison list in California, I said, excuse my language, but who the fuck is you? We don't owe you nothing, sucker.
ABC's out.
I know what they've done. That's what I'm saying. It's like, this elite shit, like, we're going to have to explain to you, but if we don't, you ain't going to support my company. Man, go fuck yourself. These brothers and sisters have sacrificed their life. You ain't did shit but push a pencil, sucker. These brothers and sisters have given their lives. They shed and spilled blood for the people, concretely. And you going to question their integrity? Sending letters in talking about, hey, do you know who he is? I don't even know who the hell you is. And I know this brother sacrificed his life in here and continue to do so on the front line. I don't even know your ass. You going to ask me, hey, who the hell is you? But this is the type of bullshit that exists in the movement. The movement is bullshit right now. We can't blame no one but ourselves. Not the white man, not COINTELPRO, so we'll blame everything on COINTELPRO when we fail to act in our best interest.
No doubt.
You know, and the thing, like, we got brothers right now, comrades, in Alabama right now. Don't you know there's more deaths in the Alabama prison than any other goddamn prison system in this country? Where all the revolutionaries and freedom fighters, where all the political prisoners supports that? And they're going through it. Sometimes they're not even eating because the pigs ain't feeding them. But then you have those brothers on the front line in Alabama fighting a political fight. Not criminal, not reactionary, but a political fight. And they've been beaten, tortured, and placed in solitary confinement. You cannot tell me that's not a political prisoner. And those who have took to the arm, you cannot tell me they're not a POW. Because that's part of the struggle, fighting against racial oppression, fighting against fascism. This is not a different fascism that exists. This is a result of fascism. The prison industrial slave complex is a result of fascism. It's not a separate entity. So when you have brothers and sisters in any righteous political prisoner that fight against that and they're persecuted, they are political prisoners. But why do you think nothing changed in Alabama? Because they don't have the support. I mean, don't get me wrong. You got a lot of parents and family members that died, they're out there. And you do have activists that's out there. But we need more people out there to get involved in what's taking place in Alabama. Because you got some righteous revolutionary brothers and sisters in Alabama fighting. And they being persecuted as direct results. And you can't blame no one but the movement. Say that again, my brother?
Yes, sir. You know, some of the same atrocities taking place in Georgia as well, you know, and other places that people are not, you know, not privy to or even understanding certain things because of communication, popularity, and other aspects, especially when it comes to support, right? You know, like you mentioned,
yeah,
in regard to a 3-3 support team, you know, that there would be idea that just even had an opportunity to have a letter writing campaign or whatever, right? Or even have an education class in regard to what it means, what the pre-industrial slave complex means, how it affects us, how does it affect directly, indirectly, and things of that nature, right? Just to get a better understanding in regard to the educational process, the miseducation process, and how we're being victimized by one of the biggest business in the world, you know? So
yeah,
it's all about that aspect as well, you know, like, even though people might be involved in certain political prisoner front of the organization, it still doesn't mean that these people are educated. So that some of these people are following,
no doubt,
you know, saying,
right,
what's popular into others, so they did join something because they're popular because somebody else doing it. That doesn't still mean,
exactly,
mean, like I said, doesn't mean that they're educated. They're just following suit what others do. You know, when you start looking at things,
exactly,
from different perspectives, start educating, you start reaching out to people, ask to talk to some of these individuals that you might be supporting, or even because a lot of times political prisoners have their own way of doing things, have their own way of talking about certain things. You should ask them how they feel, what they want to put out there, not put your own information,
yeah,
out there, not put the information what the state put out there, you know. So it's a lot of different scenarios and levels to the thing, man, to be honest.
Yeah, but see, hey, it's like this here too, right? Because a sister recently asked me about, you know, the issue of political prisoners and POWs, right? And how do we make that distinction? And I explained to them, I'm not talking about no drug dealer. I'm talking about brothers or sisters whose activity is documented. I'm not talking about a ghost. I'm talking about brothers and sisters. Like, we being in here, we know who's who. We know this brother or sister been fighting on the front line, politically or militarily. We know this. And we know they're being persecuted. You know, I told that same sister, I said, check it out, sister. Once I fall on my knees and give up, I am no longer in political prison. Don't fuck with me. I fell up and give up. I don't give a damn who it is. Unless you have a medical issue and you're not able to fight, or you have a mental issue, you are not able to fight. I'm not speaking about them. I'm talking about those who just say, I'm done. Man, I'm not recognizing you no more. You can't retire from the revolution. There's no retirement plan. Racism never retired. Fascism can't retire. If you make a commitment, it's blood in, blood out. And I told that sister, if I'm not doing nothing no more, I'm no longer a political prisoner. I'm a potential target. Get me. You know, and I'm just saying, man, that you don't, I really believe you have to be consciously and consistently active on some front. You know, you just can't come in for one act and then for 50, 60 years, you're, no, the struggle didn't stop at the prison gate.
True indeed. True indeed. I have a question for you, Conrad.
I came to prison, I continue on. And fortunately, I had, you know, brothers in here who was a part of the People's Army, the Guerrilla Collective, that trained and taught me. So when I came to prison, even though I came for an armed act, I was not politically mature. My understanding of ideology was non-existent. But I came in contact with these revolutionary guerrillas that taught and trained me. And I continue that struggle. I continue my participation, both politically and militarily, and continue to do so. And will continue to do so. You know? And, you know, it's like, it's important
for
people to support,
you know,
these governments. Go ahead. Go ahead, comrade.
Yeah, I want to ask you, you know, by being in a situation, what type of support do you need, and what the other brothers need in there? How can the people on the outside see it? What support look like, and what kind of support do you need? You know, so the people can know, get a better understanding of the situation. You know, instead of just assuming things.
I think one of the key is to let that system know you support that individual. And this is why this is important. Once they understand that you have no support and you are politically active or you are legally acting like a political jailhouse lawyer, once they see you in those court, it's over with. They're going to press the metal to the, I mean, they're going to be on your ass. Because there's no one on the streets that's in the position to say something is in support of that individual. He or she going to go through it. Guarantee you. That's 100% guarantee. If you can identify those political prisoners and POWs or identify those politically active prisoners, you have to mobilize and organize around them. The system must understand that they're not alone. The system must understand that they're being watched. So they'll make your ass disappear. They'll make your ass disappear. I'm going to give you another example. And this is over 30 years ago. If one had the support that I'm talking about, right, there's no way they would have kept me in them dungeon cells as long as they did. There's no way. It was illegal. You're supposed to do 10 days in the dungeon cell. They kept me in it for months. There's no way that would have happened. And this is not an aberration. This is not an isolated incident. There's a lot of brothers and sisters and political country prisoners in general that have been persecuted more so because they did not have the support. And any Black Panther, BLA, MOVE, you name it, they know exactly what I'm talking about. They know I'm telling the truth. If you don't have that support, it's only going to increase their suffering and torturing. Guaranteed. That's the number one support. To let them know we support this individual here. And whatever you do to him, you do to us. Once you got that there, you have to get information out about these individuals, about this struggle, what's taking place inside. You must educate the people out there to what's going on in here. The same forces you're fighting out there also fighting here. It's the same exact, it's the system. And I don't understand how individuals that been involved in the struggle attempt to try to separate the two. When the prison industrial slave complex is a direct manifestation of fascism, capitalism, racism. You can't divorce them from each other. So when you have a brother or sister that's in here fighting, there's no different on the streets. Not everybody dropped from the womb politically conscious. Me and them brothers and sisters was living the streets life, living a fast life, or there was capitalist squares. Then it became political out there. This battlefield is no different. A lot of these brothers came in with this criminal mentality. And they share themselves like Comrade George and the rest of them. Share that criminal mentality and join the struggle, join the revolution. And again, what it does also, right, a lot of these individuals in here become more reluctant now. I'm going to give you another example. Black history books, right? What they would do, say specific, like Blood Myers, Soledad Brothers, certain political prisoners, I mean certain black literature, they will penalize us. They will stick it to us and tell other prisoners, you see, when you pick up that book and read, this is going to happen to you. You're going to be placed in isolation, solitary confinement for the rest of your life, and that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And they got away with it. You had brothers in prison, I'm almost up to this day, that wouldn't touch blood in my eyes because of what they seen we were going through. You know, and it's unfortunate because who came to our aid, like in most instances, white activists. Wouldn't for certain white activists, wouldn't for the Bayview newspaper, you know, the Black Liberation newspaper, Bayview, wouldn't for legal services, wouldn't for California Pork, we still be in the hole right now. After 30, 40, 50 years of being in isolation, we still would have been there. You know, we can only do so much from in here. You know. And that's across the board. Just like the brothers in Alabama, there's only so much they can do. You know, they got an area right now, it's a dormitory, with 200 prisoners in it, and there's only 5 guards that work in that unit. 5 guards is responsible for 200 prisoners. They know that's not enough. They know it's not enough. You got a lot of prisoners not eating. You got a lot, and those who are on the front line, they're getting beat, stumped, tortured, and thrown in the hole.
Sure, indeed. You know I'm going to say something about
that. So I'm saying, go ahead, Cameron.
Say something about that.
I want to say it's on the body. You know, in certain instances like that, right? A lot of these prisoners, they don't even have no guards on the ship, so that's why they lock everybody. That's why they lock everybody. That's why they lock the prison down, because they don't have no short of staff. They don't have nobody around, so that's why they lock everybody down. You know, in those instances. So if brothers get anything happen,
let me say this here, comrade. But the short of staff thing, let me say this here, because I know about this, right? Let me say this here. The short of staff shit is bogus.
Yeah,
but
I know
they do rotation. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying that.
No, but let me say this here. This needs to be clarified. They do what they call rotations. What they do is this here. They do bids for each other's positions, where they do this deliberately to create a shorter staff. So let's say you had 10 officers. Among those 10 officers, they come together and say, what? I'm going to take these days off. You pick them up for me. So I'm going to take these days off. You pick them up for me. When they do that, comrade, it becomes a shorter staff deliberately so they can justify the lockdown of the prison. And that's what I'm just saying. That part must be understood so they understand it's not just, well, they ain't got enough pigs to be working here. No, they do this throughout the United States in both the federal and state prison. They deliberately create a shorter staff to keep the prison locked down. Or what they do, they create a shorter staff to create an environment that's more violent because you got a shorter staff in those particular areas. That need to be understood and clarified. You know what I'm saying? When we're speaking about shorter staff, because that's important. It's like today, we were on lockdown today because of shorter staff. We know that's bullshit. This is one of the worst prisons in California that do that. Shorter staff. We'd be locked down for 2-3 weeks. But we know it's not shorter staff. You know, and I see this comrade, that needs to be clarified, important, because when they understand what caused that shorter staff, because when you listen to the system, they say, we need more cops, we need more money. Like where we at, the prison guard make up, from $70,000 to $150,000 a year, more than any of the prison guards in the world. Their startup pay is $65,000 a year to $70,000. No other prison guard makes this much money. And when you reach seniority 3 years in, you make up to $150,000 a year. And I'm just saying, Cameron, people need to understand that process is a manipulation process to perpetuate violence. The manipulation process to justify government money to manage the prison, they do this deliberately. When they don't get money, okay, we're going to step on back. Let shit happen. Like they're doing in Alabama right now. Happen. Look how many people died in Alabama already this year alone. I mean, last year. Then they show the politician the numbers. Then the policy, oh, yeah, we need more money, more guards. Nah. And that's the prison, like in California, the prison union. It's the strongest union in California. You know, so, I mean, people need to understand how they use that, because it's important. Because if they don't understand that, the peers are going to say, oh, no, we got a short of staff. And most people ain't going to think what I just explained to you. They're not going to even think that, because they don't have no knowledge of it. So when the government says short of staff, most people say, okay, it's short of staff. That's not true. They're not short of staff.
No doubt.
They manipulate the process. Just like, that's why I was trying to explain when I said it's 5 pigs to 200 prisoners. That's crap.
Yeah.
You can reduce the population of the prisoner, you see what I'm saying, where the ratio will be different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you said, it's a money situation, you know what I'm saying? The less pig, the more violence. The more people going to be in prison, the more the prison going to get money. You know, the prison does slave complex. It's a business, a multi-billionaire business. You know, that's the whole process of things. Psychological victimization of everybody.
Yeah, and the thing is this here, right? Just like down here when we initiate this troops, right? We have comrades like LP, Sani. He was denied parole because he engaged and participated in the peace treaty.
That's some bullshit.
The end of hostility. He was denied parole. And many of us that was actually involved in that process was persecuted for being involved. I wrote out the blueprint. And I ain't seen sunlight since then. You would think that the system will reward us for ending this race war that's been around since the 50s. That has claimed hundreds and hundreds of lives. You would think that those of us that was involved in this process, the development of the process and executing it, like Sitawa, Mutope, LP, myself, Ashima, Bairidi, and others, you would think they will reward that effort and give them parole dates. Because they use all the other stuff against us. Well, you political, or you had George Jackson book, or they use that against us. But where are the mitigating circumstances? We brought peace to an environment that had no peace whatsoever, that you couldn't do over 50 years. Nobody mentioned that when we go to the board.
They don't.
In fact, when LP go to the board, they use that as a criminal activity because he brought peace to the yard.
Yeah.
So we're going to deny you parole for years. Go ahead, Cameron.
They say every gang association when you brought peace. They say gang association.
and you know already the George Jackson University. You know already. They say that was a gang.
Yeah. Yeah.
They banned me from communicating, even saying the word.
They had us all in newspapers and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a gang.
Yeah. FBI documents, IGI documents, all their bullshit, yeah, all in it, and documents and everything, man.
Yeah,
no, I know what's
and,
up.
And that's something that was manufactured. And again, it's easy for them to do what they do because if you ain't got the support, if you don't have the support, and that's a key factor. If you have the support, you'll be more effective in addressing those issues. When you don't have support, nah. Because if you're looking where we at, right? For example, Ashima, part of his family is Japanese. So he draw certain artwork that represent that Japanese culture,
yeah,
right? They used that artwork to validate him as a gang member and kept him in isolation. I was scheduled to get out of isolation in 2007. Different agency came to the cell from Sacramento, raided my cell, and found material from the Black Panther Party, Black Liberation Army, George Jackson book, Kwame Nkrumah's books, by 7-8 books, material on Black August, and denied me release because I had radical literature. Right now, people talk about critical race theories and how they penalize in schools for teaching critical race theory. They've been digging us up for the past 50 years. We've been persecuted for that already. 99% of us, I'm talking about new African prisoners, 99% of us stayed in the hole because of our political ideas, because we was teaching black history books. Damn near every black history book was banned because they called it gang activity. And yeah, a lot of brothers wouldn't touch certain books because the squad and certain agencies say it's a gang book. And we spent all that time in isolation, not because of violence, because our political activities, from Black August to George Jackson to even Malcolm X. And they penalize it. And most people in society don't even know that. They don't even know that. You know, they talk about the worst of the worst. But when people realize what they feel, even when the United Nations came down here in Pelican Bay and Corcoran, it fucked them up. You say, wait a minute. You mean to tell me they in here because of that? You know? And even they tried to do some, they couldn't, because it's just too much money. And they already spent billions of dollars to build Pelican Bay, and to justify it, they had to criminalize everybody that was in there. And they criminalized our politics. And you know already, anytime I say George Jackson, they book me. Anytime I say George Jackson University, I got booked. But you know, I'm not going to stop. And they just kept taking time from me, 30 days, 30 days, 30 days. And by, before you know it, they added 10, 15 years of just taking 30 and 90 days from me because I kept writing about George Jackson University, Black August, and they kept booking me. You know, just like when I use the term New African, right? Now, I won a lawsuit on this one, but I wrote this sister, and I was telling about New African babies, New African sister. Just because I say New African babies, they gave me 90 days, took 90 days off my time, and gave me a disciplinary report. Saying, but the fact that I'm using the term New African is gang related. I eventually, about 2 years later, won an out of court settlement, right? But damn, they never gave me my time back either. I just won an out of court settlement on that, you know, but I still got stunned because they took 90 days from me, and that gave me 9 days on to my sentence. But those are things that was taking place, you know, as far as this New African Collective in here, right? I'm only speaking about New African Revolutionary Nationalists because we were the primary target for that program. And we went through all of that shit, you know. A motherfucker, excuse my language, but a person can't tell me my comrades ain't political prisoners. You look at every definition across this country, across the world, they fit every single letter of what a political prisoner or POW is. They were denied parole specifically for their political beliefs and activities. It's documented. They were not released from the solitary confinement specifically for their political beliefs and political ideas. It's documented. They themselves said why we was denied. We got all this documented. Even when we filed the class action lawsuit that eventually got us out of the solitary confinement, it's all in there. Our class. We didn't speak about nobody else's class, but that New African Revolutionary class, it was clear that they were being prosecuted for their political beliefs and ideas, for teaching black history, teaching black literature, for trying to transform that criminal mind to revolutionary mind. And it's well documented. So when them fools out there be talking about, man, them dudes, they, man, what the hell you talking about? It's no different when you look in the struggle, right? And let's get more real. Even when you look at the struggle on the streets, you have people do this here. Yeah, 85-90% of righteous political activities. You may have 10% of doing some stupid stuff. Hugh Newton was doing stupid stuff for 10% of his time. 90% of the time was committed to the struggle. 10% had nothing to do with the struggle. But they didn't hold him accountable to them 10% and say, nah, he ain't political. He ain't revolutionary. Nah, you ain't perfect. You ain't perfect at all. But what do you do consistently? These comrades have been consistently putting themselves on the front line, consistently serving the revolution, consistently. But here it is. And then when it comes to that armed struggle within the prison of slavery, no one have done what we have done. And that's documented. We did things that others wouldn't have done at first. Now, you know, they'll do it, but at the time, we was on by ourselves. You know, and we got the wounds to prove it, you know?
Yes, sir.
So when people keep saying, well, man, they'll probably try to isolate. They try to do it, and they get mad because they can't. They try to isolate. Well, dude, we ain't talking about you. You talking about my comrades, sucker. Let me tell you who they are. I can tell you what they've done because I was with them. I can tell you what they've done politically and military in the service of the people because I was there. You can't isolate me, separate me from them because I grew up in the struggle. That ain't going to happen. And then I got comrades that came in prison for political activities. And that's documented. So, you know, this elite crap, man, it's destroying the movement because it's causing people to neglect some righteous, good sisters and brothers that deserve our support. You got sisters and brothers right now that's being persecuted, more so because they've been isolated and ignored. But I bet you the movement on the streets is not going to take responsibility for it. Oh, no. Now, your ass is. Anyone out there that refuse to reach back here and get these brothers and sisters who are fighting, remember, we fighting the same thing you fighting. You can't separate the two. It's like the prison desert slave complex is from another planet. It's way over here, separate from America. So what you do over there means nothing. But yeah, here go the contradiction. You didn't say that with Comrade George was around because he would have busted your goddamn brain cell. So, I mean, you know, this elitist crap, man. You know, and it's, and again, and that's why people always say, man, Abdul, why are you always looking inward? Why am I going to look outward for? We know what they're doing. This U.S. government doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. The police force, armed forces, is doing exactly what they're supposed to. Huh? Say again, Conrad.
Put that boot on your neck. What they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
What are they doing?
They're doing
it. What are they doing?
So how can you complain? You first say this is a fascist, racist system. Okay. Now they got their boot on your neck. Man, what you mean, man? They're supposed to choke your ass out. You the enemy. The issue is, what are we doing about it?
Hey, let me bring Rafiq in and see what just for a word. Bring Rafiq, I see him online. Rafiq, I just opened your line up, man, so you can say a couple of words. Jumbo Conrad, how you doing?
What's up, comrade?
Hey, how you doing, comrade?
Oh, man, you can't stop, won't stop, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, refuse to be stopped, man. Yeah, I just, like everything I'm hearing, and, it's just so much that was dropped. I heard the one-part comment earlier that, there's a movement that does not stop at the prison gates, which is so true. And I even say that within the prison gates, the movement is the repression is intensified in a way. It's naked and then it's not. It's very upfront. But at the same time, too, with the individuals inside, it's not as much of a need to heighten the contradictions between themselves. I know in that movie, Fred Hampton, when he went to jail, he mentioned that. Most of the brothers inside know that the forces there are repressive. And one thing that can be seen from that is that individuals organize themselves in certain manners to protect themselves and organize themselves to move around those type of things. And now it's what we get, 2023. And we can tell the type of environment we're in, system we're in, when you have the 13th Amendment, which interwoven crime and slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems like it rung a bell too much for everyone, especially people who consider themselves activists. They have to ask that question, what is criminal? How is it? You know what I'm saying? How is it applied? How are they viewing it?
Mm-hmm.
And it coincides, too, with what you said earlier about Hashima and being a part of the Japanese and the artwork and as long as, and as well as the things that you were talking about as, hey, you mentioned you were African, and then all of a sudden that's a violation.
Yeah.
How is the culture being criminalized? If someone was to learn, you have someone who's German, he was to learn a European language, are they going to be struck the same way we do when we learn Swahili or African language?
Mm-hmm.
So, all these things come into play. And like I said, I don't see part of the reason why the support is not there, and this is just a criticism for everyone outside as far as the activism, is I think people cannot wrap their heads around the struggle within the prison. They may see truthfully, I think they go for the easier, the lower hanging fruit. You see a lot of people when they look at it, had a kid who has both parents, this, that, and the third, and they go there and be like, okay, we're going to hold, this is what this person does. But when it comes to prison, they see some type of contributing factor. Okay, this happened, so they try to lead one thing to another, which should never be the case. As well as here, there is a Novocaine. There is propaganda that's bombarded all day, 24/7, by the TV, by all the policing shows, Law and Orders, the NCIS, et cetera, that has a distorted view of policing.
Yeah.
So, like I said, part of that is we have to make sure that we focus people on the prisons. Right now, some of the strongest people that I've seen advocates is actually mostly mothers. I hate to say it, a lot of the mothers, I hate to say it, but it's a good thing, of people who are incarcerating.
Yep.
But we really need to look at that and make sure that we engage ourselves appropriately and move in a certain fashion that garners that support.
Yeah, because you can say this here, Rafi, check this out. One of the things people don't realize out there is the value of those individuals that we're speaking on, right? And one of the things I explained to people, this same movement gave birth to Malcolm X. This same movement gave birth to Bunchy Carter. It gave birth to Elgin Cleaver. It gave birth to George Jackson. And this same movement influenced young Jonathan Jackson. It gave birth to W. Nolan. It gave birth to the Black Dragon. So what I'm saying, if you look at all that's taking place, and a lot of them brothers and sisters that was making head waves in the 60s and 70s on the streets came from the penitentiary.
Indeed.
That should tell you that there's a value in here. There's a class in here that can make effective change in the community if you support them and get them out of prison.
Agreed.
True, indeed.
I mean, and like the George Jackson University radio show, like programs like the podcast, Hakeem Kweli Shakur be doing, these are the platforms and other platforms that constantly educate people. And that's important, like you're saying. We have to educate people to the fact that a lot of people didn't even know we existed. You have people that, when you tell them, hey, man, you was in solitary for almost 33 years, and say, yeah, I got a comrade that been there 40 years. I got a comrade that been there for 38 years. We got comrades, I mean, you know, a lot of us did from 30 to 45 years in solitary confinement, and nobody knew about it. You know? And then here at the end of the day, after we done this, now people say, damn, yeah. So just think about it. We didn't have no support going. And we had to endure that crap on our own. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, I don't have, like I said, we don't have no bitterness towards the people, right? We're never going to, you know, this is who we are. We understood what we're getting into. When we made this commitment to the struggle, we knew you're in a dead prison or in isolation for the rest of your life. We knew this. And even when we was in isolation, we never thought we seriously believe we'd never get out of prison, because that's what they say. They had to think either you're going to parole, die, or snitch. That's what they did. That was their policy. There was an underground policy until the court stopped it, but it didn't stop them from doing it. We had no clue we were getting out of the hole or prison. But that did not influence or change what we were doing. We continued to fight. We continued to create and develop and educate, in spite of the fact that at that time, we never had an idea that we're getting out. You know, and the thing is, a lot of this suffering that other people are doing or going through, they don't have to. Just if they had some level of support and recognition, and public opinion is more powerful than what people think, especially when it comes to the prison industrial slave complex, especially because one thing they don't want to do, they don't want to give us credibility. So if we suffering and we enduring this crap, and if people know this, it exposed who they are. You mean you're doing this with my taxpaying dollars? So educating and propagating is key in mobilizing the people, right? And the people have to have the will. And because I remember once they say, hey, Abdu, so if I support prisoners and they get out and victimize me, I say, I ain't telling you that. I say, support those brothers and sisters that are going to continue to build the community, not destroy it. I'm telling you point blank. You got a lot of brothers and sisters in these prisons. And you let them out, you have a major impact on the community. That's why I tell them, you focus on that. Because if you focus on another thing, that would be your excuse for why you didn't get involved. I'm not telling you to support no thug or drug dealer. I'm not telling you that. You got brothers and sisters in here who are committed to the struggle. They're giving everything to the struggle. Understand me? They deserve your support. Because I guarantee you, once they get out there, they're going to have a major role. Just like we got comrades, as you guys both know, we got comrades that got out. And, I mean, they've been responsible for toy runs, feeding the poor, creating other different type of programs. You know, all our comrades that got out is having a major impact on the community. And that's documented. But that's not what the government want to talk about. After calling us criminals and thugs for 30, 40, 50 years, and then when comrades get out, they see the impact they're having on the community, that's not the story they want to tell. But that's our narrative. We have to control that narrative and show the people that there's a value in supporting these conscious new African brothers and sisters that are constantly involved. There's a value in that. I'm not an aberration. A shima's not an aberration. There's me, just like when one comrade asked me, you know, what he did, he said, there's no more George Jackson in prison, huh? I said, where you get that from? You think this place only produced one comrade George? He was the only one that you knew about because of his books and because of the case of Soledad Brothers. If George would have never wrote that book, you would have never known about him either. If he would never, mm-hmm. And the Black Panther would have never known about him. He would have never known about him until he came to prison and he heard about Comrade George. And that's why I try to tell brothers and sisters, these conditions from California to New York created many Malcolm X, Bunchy Carters, George, the Black Dragon, many of them. And many of them have the potential to be that.
Indeed.
But if the people are not aware of them, they'll never know.
Indeed.
You got a force in here that can make a major difference, politically and, you know, whatever the case may be, militarily, but you have a force in these prisons that can, I mean, change the whole dynamic of the movement in the community. I ain't talking about a bunch of violent, stupid stuff. Many of us have sat in these isolation units for decades thinking, analyzing, debating about various issues pertaining to the community. We have sat here in criminal, I mean, I'm talking about we have analyzed the criminal mind for like 50, 60 years since Comrade George. No one understands that black criminal mind better than we do.
True indeed.
Our studies and analysis go back to the 60s. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. All right, sir, Conrad. You know, at this time, I want to open up a couple of lines. If you have any questions, comments, or statements, I want to join the dialogue. Chris, want to open your line up at this time. If you want to join the dialogue, if you have any questions, comments, or statements, please press 1 and open your line up at this time. If you want to join the dialogue, press 1 and open your line up at this time. Okay, hold on. I got a call. Hold on. 707-601, your line is open. If you have any questions, comments, statements, please go ahead. 707-601, your line is open. Go ahead.
Hey, Bomani and Abdul, it's Nube.
Okay, what's up, Nube?
What's going on, sister?
Oh, well, I am, of course, totally inspired. And, I first just want to say I'm really grateful, Abdul, that you really spent this time talking about the non-difference between a political prisoner and a politicized prisoner. And this separation, which you say quite rightly, is really hurting the movement. And, you know, it's kind of doing this celebrity political prisoner, I agree with you, is incredibly harmful. And it's also incredibly painful to hear. And so thank you so much for just laying that out. But with that said, like, I'm hearing it, and I want to be able to help, like you say, continue to expose what is truly taking place. So in these prisons, especially here in California, I mean, you know how I feel about y'all, the hunger strikers,
yes.
The creators of Black August and all of that. So I don't know how many people listen to the show. I want to be able to help promote it. I'm basically just lending myself to say, I'm inspired even just with what I know, but I agree that this is more people need to know, that the public needs to be educated about what is taking place. Too many other organizations are being able to claim the narrative, which squeezes out what is taking place with y'all right behind the walls right here in California. So whatever I can do, basically, this issue, especially about the political and politicized prisoners, I think is a major point of issue as well. And yeah, and then tell me what I can do. What are my marching orders?
Mm. So, you know, cause you already know, Nube, you know about Sitawa,
like
you know about me and Shimi, you know about all of us already. So, you know,
right.
That's the issue, like the restitution campaign and the strategic relief campaign. You know, those issues that we have to address, right? Because we know for a fact, you know, there's a lot of qualified, beautiful brothers and sisters in here that can have a major impact on the community in a positive way, you know? And that's one of my main focus, right? Because our people's in trouble. And I'm not saying that we have all the answers. I'm not saying we have all the solutions, right? But we believe that if we can step down and step out of there, we can have a major impact on those conditions in the community, you know? Because that's the thing that's really tearing us apart, is seeing our community suffer, seeing our people dying. You know, there's a lot of lives that can be saved out there, you know, and that's our primary motivation, not just to get out and relax and kick with our family, and our family's understanding that. My wife knows this already. Like I told her, one day we're eating and sleeping and all that, next day I'm back on the concrete, you know.
Right, right.
So our primary motivation is to have an impact on our people and community out there, you know.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I'm just going to, I will just do what I can to continually, you know, to bring to light what it is that y'all are doing, you know, the best I can. And I do have one kind of logistical question, and that is, are any of these conversations recorded?
Yes. This whole show is recorded every Wednesday.
Okay, fantastic. So I just need to know also because how to get a hold of that recording, this recording, especially tonight, because this, you know, to me, well, this just goes along with how we need to move forward in the future. We're at the beginning, the energy of beginning, since it's the first of the, you know, it's the beginning of the year. So,
yeah.
And I think it's really important for people to hear it from you also, Abdul or Bomani and Hashima and that, you know, and all of that. I think it's really powerful when they hear your actual voice. So tell me how I get a hold of the recording so I can help disseminate it.
Bomani normally sent it to me. But
yeah,
is she on your messenger, Bomani?
Yeah, no, I'm saying, yeah, I can send it to you, anyway. I can send it to you.
Okay.
I can send it to you directly.
Okay.
I got you.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. Please do. And then depending on where, either the radio station, if I put it on the radio station, I'm just letting you know there's some editing that I'm going to need to do with some of the language, but I think you know that. That's just FCC rules.
yeah,
but anywhere
else. Yeah, I
understand. Yeah,
you know, we understand that already.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can dig it.
Yeah.
I just love
it.
I really think that the movement forward in terms of, you know, the crime against humanity that continues to take place within our prisons, which is just legal slavery, as you know, y'all are the ones that have taught me. And the drive to dismantle all of this is going to come from y'all. So that's you're my people. So I'll do what
yeah,
I can.
It's going to come from all of us, because we all got a role. You playing a major role in this process too, right? And we can't do without you guys out there, and you guys can't do without us. It's going to be a combined effort, you know? And one thing people need to understand, you cannot abolish this system without abolishing poverty in the community, without developing institutions that can provide education, job skills, jobs. You have to deal with the issue that's affecting our community if you really want to abolish the prison industrial slave complex. You know, you can't just go one side and leave the other one out. Just like you can't forget this, because these doors open up every day. And you have individuals getting out every day with a different mindset, not one that is in the interest of the community. So you have to balance it out and understand that it's important to support both inside and outside.
Right. And I really do think that it's important that we are so numbed and perhaps we are getting, you know, shaking out of it, but we're just so numbed and conditioned to not feeling like we are being genocided. We are not acting like a genocided people. We are not acting like there's a fire in the house. And definitely that we just need to start. We're just going to need to start lighting it up. And I do feel some of that. I feel some embers. I really do. I feel some embers.
Yeah.
And so I'm always going to stay hopeful. I'm always going to stay positive. I don't want to move in despair. So, but we do need to we do need to start acting differently. Like we have to shake out of our numbness and this conditioning, and
exactly.
understand that yeah, we are being genocided and that there's fire in the house. So, but
yes,
yeah, together, absolutely.
No doubt.
You know.
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah, we appreciate all the work that you've been doing, sister. We appreciate all the work, you know. Appreciate you on your broadcast. Appreciate the newspaper. We appreciate all that, you know. That just reminder. That just reminder what's going on. Like the comrade said, never leave the comrade behind. You know, can never forget the ones
right.
who are constantly doing the work. Ones are constantly creating institutions. Ones are constantly programs. The ones constantly educating themselves, the ones constantly writing, and the ones reaching out to the outside, constantly organizing. You know, you can never forget that. Never forget the ones who are actually doing that work in particular. And we must be an extension of that work. You know, it worked from the movement hasn't been separated at the point of the personal location. You're in a different state, I'm in a different state, the current my enemy line, but the move is still one movement. You get different extensions of it in different places, with different politics in regard to it. But it's the overall system that we're trying to build in order to abolish and destroy all this. You know, a rebuilding process in general.
Yeah.
Indeed. Absolutely. All right. Well, I appreciate y'all very much. And I'm going to get back to it over here. I got some more work I want to get done for the newspaper.
Right.
So, all right. So I'm going to get back to it. And I'll look forward to that for this recording. From you, Bomani, whenever that works.
Oh, I got you.
All right, peace,
brothers.
All right,
Brother. Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Conrad. Yeah, you're right. You can go ahead. I don't see nobody else calling in.
I see
the whole listening, but it ain't press one. You know what I'm saying? If anybody want to say anything, they can press one. If you got anything to say, a comment, statement, whatever. You know, but other than that, just go ahead, Conrad.
Yeah. See, and another thing, you know, it's a couple of issues here, right? And one thing, you trip on this, right? And again, you can't blame my folks. It's on us. You know, if I explained this to one of the brothers on TikTok. I said, if I was doing some nasty, goofy shit on TikTok, I'd probably have 2,000-3,000 viewers, right? You know what I'm saying? When you do something that's conscious.
Hold on, Conrad. Hold on, Conrad. I saw somebody trying to get in. Hold on right quick. Somebody trying to get in. 217-63, your line is open. You got any question, comment, or statement, please just do your time. 217-63, your line is open. Go ahead.
I just want to say I am a new listener and I'm a new learner. And I want to congratulate all you guys. I appreciate all the work that you do. And also,
okay.
I want to be, what can I do to help? I mean, this is something I want to help out. Because in my community, I do a lot of work helping people out. Because we have so many brothers and sisters here that in my community that are on drugs and, you know, things like that, that, you know, I help out all through the community. So what else could I do to help the struggle, to help the brothers that are incarcerated? What can I do as just a person of interest?
Okay. There's a lot, especially when you deal with the community, right? Like I said, we already developed a number of blueprints and programs, right? Again, it's the approach to these various issues, right? Like I said, we created a network that addressed the community issue as well as the prison issues, right? We got an email. The comrade Bomani gonna give you an email, right? Hey, Bomani.
Mm-hmm. Bomani. Indeed. Yes, sir.
We're gonna run down as far as the AIM issues, the AIM programs. I want her to have the AIM programs too, right? And be aware of the embassy too. I want her to have the AIM program. We'll get those programs and then our emails too so we can communicate with her on that as well. But you can also share with her the embassy too.
No doubt, no doubt. Right now I'm looking at your information, so I'm gonna reach out to you. I'm reaching look at your information. I'm gonna reach out to you. Cause I see your information already.
Yeah, like I said, I love the community. I love our brothers and sisters, and I want to do more to help out and also help the ones that are locked up and incarcerated. You know, help out and do the best I can.
I mean, you know, this, and this is why I tell people this here. I tell people this here. If we have 100 people that put 10, 15 minutes to it, it's just as important if each person put an hour in. We all have a role to play. You may not have the time to put 3 hours a week in. You may have the time to put 15 minutes in. That 15 minutes is just as valuable than the 3 hours. Because if you add that up and you got 100 people putting 15 minutes in, you have that many people contributing to the struggle, right? So I tell people, whatever you can put forth, it may be 10 minutes, 30 minutes a day, that's just as valuable to us than putting 2-3 hours in. So whatever you can do, sis, we're going to aid and assist you in that process. And whatever contribution you can make, you know, is going to be truly appreciated.
Yes, that's what I want to do. I appreciate it. And I want to say thank you, guys. I mean, your struggle, I've been reading about it. I've been really just learning a lot of things, and I'm learning a lot. And a lot of things I never knew, I never know. And all of you guys just opened my eyes up to a whole new different world. I didn't know these things until now. And there's so many of us out here that don't know. That's why we need to listen and learn from all of you.
No doubt.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, okay, I'm going to reach out to you.
Take care. Always keep up the struggle.
Okay, you
and
too,
I love it. Thank you.
Well,
bye-bye.
Okay.
Comrades, you mind if I share the email?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
It's George Jackson University 71@gmail.com. So anyone want to reach out to us, that's our email. And again, it's George Jackson University 71@gmail.com. So, hey, Bomani?
Go ahead.
I do. Okay. I would just say this quick, right? It's like, it's a reflection of our people and their priority, right? Because I had this dialogue with this brother on TikTok, right? Explaining to him, and we're doing some goofy stuff, butt-naked stuff or whatever, you'll have about 3,000, 4,000 views. But he doing something that's conscious, that is valuable to our community. He gets 6-7, right? And I explained to him, man, that's 6-7 people that you didn't have at first. Don't focus on the number. Focus on the quality, not the quantity. You see what I'm saying? You got 7 people that consistently come in to hear you speak. You got those 7 individuals that can spread the word. They can take that back to the community and organize in their community.
No doubt.
You don't need no army. We talk about the chosen few. Many will be called, but only few will be chosen. So you don't need no 10,000 people to listen to you. Get those quality individuals that are committed to what you're doing, and you're going to have a major impact. So don't even trip on the numbers, I told them. Don't even look up there and trip on them numbers. You continue to do what you do, bro. If 2 people listen to you, keep on spitting. Another bummer.
Oh, yeah. Everything you're saying, you know what I'm saying, I resonate with it, man, especially with a lot of people on the interaction, right? You know, we need more involvement, more communication, right? You know, in regards to what our goals, our aims, our aspirations, what exactly we're trying to do and why are we doing it. You know what I'm saying? We need to lay out these particulars, and especially in regards to what we're doing right now, we present people with clarity so that we are knowing, we are understanding how to get involved, why to get involved, the necessities, the history, the origin, things of that nature, right? So it can be a better understanding all around the board, especially when we're trying to do work. This is an educational process, so representing the education for all the masses and mind people to hear, so they can make the conscious decision about what they want to do. You need to participate or not participate. That's on you. But it comes, education has been laid out before you, so you can take it how you want to do with it. Well, you want to do it, you can take and do with it. You know, so you want to pass it on, spread it to others. You want to carry others. If not, it's still the same thing. It's still education. You know.
Yeah.
So that's the process. You can go out to do work. Let the education liberate you, though.
Yeah. And one of the things this is one of the critique I had for a comrade the other day, where he made a statement that he can't see how we're in the gang conflicts in our community, right? So I asked him,
do we subject
the gang conflicts in our community, the violence in our community? And I said, okay, do we subject ourselves to your inability to see beyond that, do we subject ourselves to your blindness? Because there are many of us who say we can end it. We see it coming. We know there's a way we can end it. Because you don't see something, doesn't mean it can't be done. And I explain that because a lot of time individuals use these events and they become discouraged and they drop out or back up as if they have a justifiable reason. The struggle is not based on your own single narrative, your own single view. You know, 10 eyes have always been better than 2 eyes. 20 eyes is better than 2 eyes.
Sure,
you'll see things that you can't see. If you're part of a collective, you have to understand, if you can't see something, that doesn't mean you throw in the towel because you can't see it. Other people can see the possibility and potential of eradicating certain ills that plague our communities. You have to be patient. Just like I can be discouraged and say, well, man, so-and-so doing this. Nah, my commitment is based on what is true because the individual falls to the wayside and got nothing to do with me. You know what I'm saying? And this is what I'm saying. A lot of our people have become numbed to revolutionary rhetoric. They have become numbed to all these different groups. And that is a fact. That's a reality. They have become numb. What I say is this here. Judge us by our activities. Take away the revolutionary word and judge us by what we're doing on the street. We don't do all that marching, demonstrating. We build institutions. Go ahead, comrade.
Yes, sir. Fine, sir. I got somebody that want to get in. I got something. I'm going to open up a line right quick, comrade. Hold up. 443-414, your line is open. You got a question, comment, statement. 443-414, go ahead. Your line is open right now.
All right. All right, how y'all doing, brothers?
All right. How are
you? Yeah, I'm calling from Baltimore. I listen to the show a lot. This is the first time I tapped and got on, though, because I had a different phone. It's messing up. But, yeah, I like everything being said, and I understand what's being said. I'm just taking notes. That's all.
Okay.
But I think there are people, the bigger oppressor sometimes than the enemy. I'm reading stuff on the news about the girl Shaquilla Robinson that got attacked by her own friends in Mexico, and they claimed stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's crazy. The day in Baltimore, 5 little boys got shot at school, the school, across the street in the morning. I guess they was on lunch break. They snuck out of school. One of them died. 4 of them just got shot. So now the phase down here surge. Cause they just found somebody chopped up in the woods. Like 2 people. They said the serial killer going around. But they got the serial killer, then they got people still shooting each other up. So they got all this.
Yeah.
So they giving the phase the invitation to come in. Next thing they want martial law. It's crazy. It's too much. One time.
Yeah. See, and again, these are conditions and issues that we have to address because no one understands it better than us, those who live in the community. We understand it better than anybody. It's not going to happen overnight because it didn't take it a day or 2 days to get where we're at right now. It took decades, if not centuries, to get to where we're at now, right? It's just a matter of we got to continue to find a way. We have to sit back, analyze the conditions, and develop solutions to resolve these contradictions, and it can be resolved. We just have to sit back and put the work in. We can't allow those realities to discourage us because there is a solution to them. Even if one have not found it yet, there is a solution. You know, and I'm optimistic that it can be done. It may not be done in our time, but if we do our part, lay down a blueprint, and allow the next generation to build from there, it can be done.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir. Rafiki, you got anything to say?
Yeah, definitely, brother. Hey, appreciate you calling in, and I'm in your area, so you know you don't have to pass us your contact information on this line, but definitely reach out to me. I'd like to speak with you.
I got it, Conrad. Go ahead.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say is, you know what I mean. You know, the conditions that you're talking about and trying to better what's going on in our location, you know, we all need to get up and move around these issues. So definitely would like to have it offline.
Because okay. Hey, it's important, too, to understand that there are brothers and sisters in that area that are trying to do the same thing you're doing, you know? And you work with them other brothers and sisters, like the Comrade Rafiki, he's been on the front line for years. He's been fighting that fight over 20 years. So there's certain things that he can bring to the table, you know? And there are other brothers and sisters in that area that you're talking about have been active just as long. So I think it's important that you team up with the right people and you guys can come up with a solution on how to better those conditions.
True indeed. True indeed. True indeed. You see that, brother?
I'm here. I'm just getting a message. You hear me? I'm getting a message. Taking note.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What I'm gonna do? I'm gonna send information to the Conrad so he can reach out to you. Is that cool with you?
Yeah. That's cool.
Okay. I appreciate it, man. Yes, sir. All right, bro. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
All right, please. Okay. go ahead. Y'all can go ahead.
All right. And the thing is that we have to take responsibility and accountability for what's going on in our community. We can't keep blaming everybody else. Because as long as you blame someone else, then you think that excuses you from your role in the process. It don't. I don't expect nothing from them. We know what the government's about. We know the society that we live in. We know that we're living under fascist, racist oppression. We know this. I don't expect nothing good coming from them. Because even the good have a devil behind it. We are often responsible for how we respond. Say it again, Conrad.
So you already know that it gives you a little something to take a lot away from you. You know how they do it.
Yeah, and you know, exactly. And you know, like when Comrade Jalil Muhtar King, the book, We're Our Own Liberator. We are our own liberator, but we can also be our own oppressor, too, in that process. There's an opposite to that. If we are our own liberator, that means that we have to do what is necessary and required to fight and obtain our liberation. And again, this, and go back to what I've been saying about the struggle in the exact science. And most people, even within the struggle, don't understand that. We, look ahead of what we're trying to accomplish opposed to what we need to do to accomplish that. I'm looking at a brand new house, but yeah, I have no blueprint to build that house. I'm just talking about the house. Before that house can become a reality, you must have a blueprint. Then you must have those who qualify to build from that blueprint. Because we may never see the house. That's what we have to understand. At this stage, we're building the blueprint. We stabilize in our community. That we can see. We can see that right now as we build. It's up to the future generations to define what freedom is for them, what liberation and independence for them is. It's our job to lay down that blueprint. Our community is not even stable to build a straw house. That's a concrete fact. When you have activists who try to minimize the condition of our community, they ain't serious. They in it for themselves. Because that's not the concrete reality. If you look around you, no matter what community you're in, you'll see we got problems. We tend to ignore what we do to each other in the community and talk about what they done to us. If we deal with what we do to each other and stop that, they'll never do what they're doing to us. We can stop it. Stop it. I did a live the other day, and I was thinking about Kwanzaa, right, and the principles of Kwanzaa. And a lot of people got emotional, and, oh, man, I said, wait a minute. First of all, you look at these seven principles. Let's take them away from Kwanzaa. They existed way before what Ron Karenga did, you know?
Yeah.
And you cannot contain
the same principles in UNIA. They were pushing the same principles.
You cannot contain the true spirit of these principles in 7 days. When we talk about self-determination, we're talking about independence as a people. We're not talking about one individual saying that I take care of my family, I don't depend on nobody. That's not self-determination. During the 7 days of Kwanzaa, they have been commercialized and reduced to that. Now, when we say self-determination, we're talking about independence, the building our own nation. That's what self-determination is. When we talk about unity, that means that this is something that you have to work for. You have to work for unity. You have to go door to door, meet your people, organize. If you come every year to that first day of Kwanzaa without any progress towards unification in your family or the or your community, then you don't understand the principle of unity then. Just coming to that event and speaking about unity but making no effort to consolidate that unity, you just piss it in the wind. Lip service. Every time that first day come every year, you're supposed to bring more people to the forefront. You must show them a visual example of what unity is. I've organized my community. We come together every week. These are the things we're doing. I'm bringing more people to this event. Every year, you should show a physical example of what unity means and its functional application in your community. The next principle is what? Self-determination, cooperative economics, collective working responsibility. You have to bring that to the table. But, you know, it's like at right now, just paying lip service to it. You know, and to really make Kwanzaa something of significance, you have to take that principle and focus on that principle 365 days a year. You have to make an effort to unify your people 365 days a year. You must make an effort to bring the principles of cooperative economics, establish community trust, collective work responsibility. And when you look at the embassy represents that. The embassy got cooperative economics, collective work responsibility, self-determination, and unity. The embassy is a perfect example when you take those principles and put them in their functional application. And people need to understand that. You know, I'm not going to celebrate a day. I mean, I'm going to fight for unity every single day. And then when that 26th of December come, I'm going to show a direct manifestation of what I've been doing 364 days a year.
No doubt.
I'm bringing unity to the table. Go ahead, comrade.
I say it's every day, man. We look at them seven principles as an everyday survival and tools for nation building. Those are nation building tools. Tools to create a revolutionary culture if you practice them every day. You know what I'm saying? Up to the fullest extent. You know, those are tools that you use. You know what I'm saying? That'll never end. Those tools still be around after our demise. They still be around. You know, you must utilize them to be a sign that they're going to be substantial. If it be generational wealth, if it be a nation, if it be a civilization, if it be economics, wherever you build, you know, you got to build it. They're going to sustain it and solve for the quills and ills of our people, the social ills that we have.
Exactly.
We social scientists. We got to build toward those issues in general, you know, and gain that better understanding in regard to what we're doing. It will again people to see exactly where they are so they can practice on themselves and put it into action.
Yeah. And we go to the GJU, the George Jackson University. And why is it important for the people to support the GJU? We understand that here we are. We have this opportunity. We have these brothers and sisters. We have the potential to contribute towards the growth and development of our community. We can determine that choice. Either you go out there and perpetuating the destructive behaviors in our community, or you can go out there as activists and building our community. The GJU can play a role in that process. When we make an attempt to transform every cell into a classroom, that cell, that classroom is designed to reorganize your thought process. It's designed to have you to self-reflect on the things that you've done in the, you know, towards the community. It is designed for you to facilitate that transition from a criminal mentality to a revolution mentality, from a Negro to a new African, or to African, shedding that Negro mentality. You know, what we're trying to do, we're not trying to parole you from prison. We're trying to graduate you from Georgia University so you can serve the community, so you can help the community build. And that's why it's important to get to the point of the people, because we're going to do so much from in here.
No,
we need a collective effort between inside and outside to make this happen. We need to provide educational material. We got curriculums already that every student enrolled can take, you know. But with more people out there involved, we can provide more educational material, more support, more material support. You know, we need assisting in developing new curriculums for the imprisoned students. You know, we need outside support that will aid and assist us in preparing these brothers and sisters for reentry into the community. And all they have to do is get at the comrade Bomani Rafiki, and they will provide you with information on how you can get involved. But if you complain about the crime and violence in the community, then you should support the GJU. We don't work the pigs. We don't work the government. But we believe that we have part of the solution to the problem. So if you do work with the pigs and government, then don't call us. But if you see it by resolving those conflicts in the community, those conditions in the community, then work with the GJU, because we got inside and outside program that is focused on building our community, transforming that black community mentality. You know, you can't complain about it when you make no effort to try to get rid of it. It don't cost you nothing.
No doubt.
You know what the silence say, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know, we basically got like basically got like 13 minutes left, right? You know, I'm just letting everybody know, you know. Got like 13 minutes left. On the broadcast, man. So, you know, when we discuss,
a freedom not on.
I don't know if him or not. I'm gonna see, man. Somebody just came on. One of these weird numbers. Let me see. Conrad Freedom, that you?
Yeah, I was hoping y'all have my new cell phone by now, but. It's okay.
We failed your president. Okay, you know, if you sneak on the thing right quick,
hey, Rafiki.
Right.
Yeah. What we're going to do, Rafiki, we're going to, you know, get that Cash App together so we can get Freedom a phone.
We're all going to put something in it
so we can have a phone.
That's what we got you,
Freedom. Don't trip, bro.
Hey, I do.
Don't trip that.
I wanted to say, man, you gotta hammer it in. there's a reason why the human brain does what it does in terms of when it hears either new information or it hears repeated information. You know, the enemy system understands that we can't have its open airways, because then we could repeatedly reach it more. You know, masses of people, and then repeatedly pound in the message of liberation and how that works. So while GJU represents this, and we expand to a certain degree, it's important for us, I think, those who normally and regularly listen, to know that the repeatedness necessary even for us. It's just how the human being works.
Yes.
You got to put this.
Yes.
You got to put that message out, and it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer each time. And I think that's important for all of us to recognize. And then I say lastly, so I don't hold the last minute up, you know, what's one of the things that takes place around the country is there, you know, and as you well know, there's these sham movements that get out front of any police shootings, so like Black Lives Matter, you know. And what they do is they disrupt the pattern of really realizing how, because these youth, I'm telling you, have the capability, once they can get under somebody's umbrella and get organized, they have the capability to push the envelope to build that house, as you just described, a little faster, you know, if we recognize the games that go on with these charlatans and these sneaky people, because that's what's going on in a normal basis. I understand these wealthy, rich white men funnel that money down to us to make these Black Lives Matter chapters and whatnot go on, and not all of them, not indicting all of Black Lives Matter activists. I'm just saying in general. And so when we're mindful of that, we begin to talk to the youth, and every chance and opportunity we get, I know that I did that during the so-called uprising, and I found that the youth will listen when they're hot, when they're heated, they'll listen to people who got structure. I told them, don't go for personal cars. Don't attack people's personal homes. I said, there's a lot of state property down here in D.C. that you could, if we're going to do this stuff. This ain't the revolution. But once their minds open up to what they're targeting, they need a target. They need to know that you're fighting against the state. not just angry and let loose. And they caught that. They caught that in the heat of that battle. I remember many a night being out there, and they caught that, and we were able to direct them. So they are malleable. They are malleable. They can be used. They can be used into revolution.
Exactly.
So, yes, sir. That's
exactly. Hey, Bomani, one thing I want to do is this here too, right? If you got a Pie Face email, if not, because I want to post that up because the comrade down here doing some hell of a work down here, right? He just came out with a cut. I think you seen the video. He just came out with a cut featuring Scarface, right? And the type of work he's doing down here with the nonprofit, and we got other brands down there too, but we need to get support to Pie Face so he can continue with the End of Hostility program as it relates to New Africans, the Restitution Now, Strategic Relief, and the community-based programs that he's doing, right, and the activism work that he's doing, right, where we can educate and mobilize our people through art, you know, music. And that's what he's been doing. He's been doing a hell of a job, you know. So I want you to also have his email available, too, so people can tune into that.
True indeed, true indeed. I'm looking for it now, but I'm trying to see. I got it somewhere. I'm looking for it now.
The Cage University one. If not, I just sent it to you. You can't find it. The Cage University?
Yeah, I thought it was Cage something. Cage.
Yeah, that's it.
Hold on. Trying to get it to pull up right, man. I have technical difficulties right now.
Hey, Freedom come with the egg. Hey, Bomani.
Yes, sir.
We're gonna get that together, man. Have right freaky, and we'll contribute towards that, so we can take care of that. What we spoke about in the last Zoom meeting.
Oh yeah.
With regards to helping freedom.
Yeah.
I'm all right. I don't need no new car though. I'm good. I'm straight.
Okay. I'm gonna give you a bus pass.
Yes, sir. I already know. I wouldn't. Yeah. The bus pass.
Yeah,
it
ain't popping up, man. Yeah, it ain't coming up.
Okay, I'll send it to you. I'll send the email to you. At the end of this here, because there's not that much time left, right? So I'll send you the email. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, I got it on somewhere. It just ain't coming up in my email. I don't know where it going, though, man. I thought it was KK371,
We got it.
Yeah, I got it. You got like 5 minutes left, man. You know, what are y'all final thoughts? Everybody give a little final thought. We got like 5 minutes left, man. But we take it all on out.
Rafiki, freedom. I hear real quick. Rafiki, if one of the things on the meeting we missed, we wanted to deal with the payments every month. So I figured if we're going to have a meeting tomorrow night, we'll talk about it. We can get this dues thing straight and then get that money over to the Bomani for the radio show. I mentioned that on the meeting. You weren't there, so yes, sir. Let's do that.
Yeah,
so that's my final.
Appreciate
summary.
It, Conrad.
Yes, sir.
All right. No doubt.
Why, Freaky?
Hey, just want to end up if George was here, if Best Little Jeff was here, I think they just would end off saying, "Long live the gorilla."
Long live that gorilla.
Yes, sir.
The upward bound to the sky, like that dragon, we shall fly.
Yeah. Here's the gate, open the dragon, fly out.
Yes, sir. Hey, I'm gonna get at you a reminder when we end this, so I can send that stuff to you. Hey, but send me the recording too, like you always do. But send me that too, because I'm gonna put them on the pages.
Yeah, I got you, Conrad. You know,
all right.
I look at this. Gonna be a good year, man. It's gonna be a good year. You know what I'm saying? For growth and development, man. A good year for building.
a good year for advancing and a good year for show productivity, man. Show people by example.
You know, and then,
what new
and then it'd be even better if they said what they're going to do, let me out this year.
Oh, yeah, even better then. Have old Conrad.
You
boy.
Know? Yeah.
have old Conrad party.
Yes,
old Conrad party, right?
Yeah,
old Conrad party.
You know? I want to go to the embassy. I want to go to the embassy.
Yeah, you come in the embassy. Have old Conrad
yeah.
party. No.
You know?
What's up?
I hear you, man.
What's up, man? So,
you guys good?
What's up? Out, man.
Okay.
You know, I want to say if anyone got any loved one, comrade, or associates, you can contact directly at jordanuniversity71@gmail.com. Again, jordanuniversity71@gmail.com. And also, be on the lookout for our new website that we have up and coming as well. We have a new website up and coming. So be on the lookout for that as well. So you can stay in tune with what we got going on. Learn more about GJU. Learn more about our politics, our origin, you know what I'm saying, our plans, our ideals, you know what I'm saying, our goals and aspirations. And get involved as well. Free the land, long the resistance, long live the dragon.